2 Corinthians 9:8. Our Lord emptied himself and had nothing all the days of his earthly life. Consequently, he was free for God to lavish his gifts through him to others. Think of the rushes with which we come in front of our Heavenly Father. Whenever we see an occasion, we rush in and say, "I can do this. You need not trouble God." I wonder if we are learning determinedly to possess nothing. It is possessing things that makes us so conceited. Oh yes, I can give prayer for you. I can give this and that for you. We have to get to the place about which Jesus talked to the rich young ruler.
Oh my gosh.
Where we are absolutely empty and poor, that we have nothing. And God knows that we have nothing. And then he can do through us what he likes. Would that we would quickly get rid of all we have. Give it away till there is nothing left. Then there is a chance for God to pour through in rivers for other people. That's kind of hard for me to say right there. Should I repeat that again, or did everybody get that? Would that we would quickly get rid of all we have, give it away till there is nothing left, then there is a chance for God to pour through in rivers for other people.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Well, I had no idea that was going to be the scripture, because the Lord spoke to me early this morning to change what I wanted to do today. And guess what? Matthew 19. Turn over there. Matthew 19. And now, this is the way God works, I guess, because Matthew 19:16 over there. You'll see what I'm talking about when you get there. Now, everybody, we have new Bibles. We have cases of Bibles, so everybody get a Bible. And I want to encourage you now, the next couple weeks, or well, I'd love to encourage you forever, but make sure if you, we're going to be talking about the gifts, mastering the gifts of the Spirit, all these things. And I want you to get you a composition book, all right, or a whatever, something to write with, and run by the dollar store if you need. But over the next few weeks, so we're going to be learning. We're going to be teaching a lot, okay? Not a lot of preaching, but some teaching. And it's really, I believe, crucial for us to understand about the gifts and the spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit. And
why are we not saying where?
16.
Mm.
And we'll go here, and then we'll go into briefly what in on some of the stuff coming up on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord prompted me about this morning. I believe I'm going to just be obedient and do it, because despite what I want, it's always what he wants, right?
Amen. Amen.
And I just wrote a few notes down after you did when I went on there. Anybody know this story? We just heard it spoken of in the devotion there. This is a story about the rich young ruler. Isn't that wild how that the daily devotion went right with what God spoke to my heart this morning about the rich young ruler? Anybody know about the rich young ruler?
Yeah.
Who was he? Well, let's read. We'll find out.
Right.
And behold, one came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to them, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father, your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Young man said to him, all these things I've kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, speak through me and in spite of me. Whatever message you have today, God, I pray you open our ears to hear, and God, give us eyes to see on this word. This morning, Lord, let your anointing be on your word, God. Let your anointing fall on this place today, God. That, Lord, that every man and woman that come here today leaves here encouraged, but leaves here, Lord, feeling like they're fresh, like they have a new perspective on life. And what it means to have eternal life and abundant life right now. And Father, we ask this morning that God, that you would have your way in this service.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this rich young ruler, it says a man, he's known as the rich young ruler, okay? And it says, but on mine, somebody else give me a quote, and it says, one came to him on mine, the first 16.
The first verse?
Yeah, what interpretation do you have?
I have, now a man came up.
A man, okay. So it's a man. Anybody else have a different translation? Okay. One came to him and said. So, how do we know this guy's rich?
Verse 22.
Verse 22, absolutely. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to stop there, but let's look back at 16, and what is it talking about? We're beginning here. First of all, we see him talk to Jesus as what? Teacher, right? So, what is he seeking really, this guy? What is this man really seeking? Huh?
Peace.
Peace, okay. Why do you think he's seeking peace?
Got sorrow in his life.
Got sorrow in his life. Yeah, but the man is rich. We just read that. He probably had anything he wanted, right?
Except for love.
Except what?
Love.
Except love, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what I can tell that we definitely know is that he wants a ton of wives.
Okay.
That's like the first thing we asked about is how do I get that? Like, what can I do to get that?
Okay, very good point. Very good point. There's something inside of all of us. So last week we talked about what? Somebody, I hope somebody remembers. Who am I? And what else? The purpose.
Our purpose.
In life. Our calling in life. We talked about all that. And I challenged you with a question, didn't I? Y'all remember what that is? What was the question? What is your heart's desire, right? What if you had all the money in the world, if you had anything, there was no obstacles, and you got to choose, and some of you wouldn't hear, but that's what I challenge with, and you can start thinking about this. What would I really like to do? What would I want to do with myself, with my life? What would make me happy? What would make me content, feel like love? Like, what'd you say, Dante, I'm the man, the... Peace. What would give me peace in my life? Now, did somebody think about that this week? And somebody tell me what really come on their heart. And if God showed you anything while you was praying and thinking about it this week.
It's like the last book in the Step Study, where it says if you had unlimited money and you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? I found out, and every time I put in there, it was to help the homeless.
Okay.
So if you knew you couldn't fail, and you had all the money in the world.
Okay, so for Penny, it's to serve and to house the homeless, okay? And that's over everything. Doesn't matter if money, I mean, if you as rich as Donald Trump, or whatever it is, okay? Somebody else, did you really think about it this week? What would you like to do? Because remember I told you, the Bible says what? That the Lord wants, huh? He wants to give us the desires of our heart. So where is your heart? Yes.
Well, because my sister was dying and I was in so much pain, I saw so much hypocrisy. When I became a Christian, I wanted to know what a real Christian was. So since then, my desire in my heart is for to share my testimony. I want the entire world to see Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So if I had anything in the entire world, that's what I would want to be part of. All right.
Very good. You're coming at a great time because that's what we're learning, our calling and our purpose and why Jesus says he knew us before the foundation of the world. He knew, and before we were in our mother's womb, he even knew you and everything. He knows everything about us. And don't you think he also knows our heart? That is how he knows us, right? Mm-hmm. And whether Paul said the heart is wicked,
yeah.
Why is that?
Selfish.
Why? Selfish? What?
Born in the flesh.
Right.
Born in the flesh. Born in what? Sin.
Mm-hmm.
We're born in a sinful nature, all the way back to the garden.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, so then now, is where we're kind of at with our teaching and our preaching and everything, is that the born-again life, where do we go from here? Who am I? Who am I now? And as we study in the next gift, huh? As we study in about the gifts and all this stuff, now, and I'm not going to get into that right this second, but do you think the rich young ruler maybe had come to a point in his life there was something missing?
Yeah.
There was something missing. He had everything he could have. He, obviously. But there was something missing. And we got to understand, outside of being born again, there's always something missing in our life. We're always missing something internally. It's something inside of us. And we know that as believers, that it's a spiritual thing. It's a dead spirit that we are born into. And until we become born again, like Jesus said in John 3:3, lest a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Now, you take that as what it is, but Jesus was standing right in front of them, okay? And there was the king. I'll just leave that one there. You see, Nicodemus couldn't understand that, could he? Wait a minute. You mean I got to go back in my mother's womb? He says it didn't make sense. So the thing is, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. So we're at the point now where we're born again. Anybody not born again in here, let's just stop and we'll tell you how to do that. I believe I know everybody. Everybody here know that if they died today, they'd go to heaven?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Well, then we skip right over that one. And then we're right here at the point now where it's what I do now. Right? What I do now. Where do I find my way? Where do I find my calling, my purpose, and all this? So you see, rich young ruler, he had everything of the world, but nothing of the new world. The eternal life, the thing that he's heard about, the things that were being taught and preached by Jesus and his disciples. As they went through the cities and people were being healed and went all over the cities, all the good things, people shouting and hollering, the lame being healed, the blind eyes open. So he's like, something's missing in my life. Now you can even be born again. Let me back. You can even be born again and feel like something's missing in your life.
That's right.
And you may be in here this morning that way. That's why what we're about to teach and go into is so crucial for the believer.
Yeah.
Because there's too many pew warmers. There's too many men and women of God who know Jesus, believe Him, and believe Him as Lord and Savior, but yet they're like coming in and coming out of church, coming in and out. But that's not the plan and purpose for you. It isn't. It really isn't. It's to serve. It's to serve the Lord for that purpose, he says.
Yes.
So Jesus didn't pull no punches. He didn't have the heads bowed altar calls or anything else. He was right in your face and in your eyes, and he told him right away. You know why he quoted some of the Ten Commandments? Anybody?
They're still true today. That's true.
They're still true today. Very good. What else? Because he was still trying to live by them. He wasn't born again.
Yes, yes.
See, he had never been born again. He was still under the law, right, Karen? He was still living by the law. And the law, and being good and all this stuff, whatever.
He
was still not satisfied. And see, that's what God knew for every believer, every one, that his creation. He had a plan and a purpose to what? Walk with him in the garden. Have a right relationship with him. Be in right standing with him. In righteousness with him. Talking with him. Walking with him. So bad that, and we brought this up, Zora, about, what's his name? He walked with God and then he was no more. Enoch. It went... Enoch, he was so close to God, he said, it says in there, it was put in the Bible for a reason. He said he was right with God and he walked with God and then he was no more. So he just walked on up into glory.
Yeah.
How many want to just walk right on up into glory like Enoch? I don't know about you, but there's something better and it's something about eternal life. And so we got to understand that there is something more than what we have right now. In our life, there's something more. And there still may be something missing in each and every one of you right now. So the spiritual gifts and all the things we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks are going to be key. You see, the rich young man, he wanted a teacher. But he really didn't want a Lord.
That's right.
He wanted a teacher. Does that sound familiar? In our lives.
He wanted a list of things to do.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me what I can do to get eternal life.
Checklist.
Yeah, I've done that, he said. I've done that. I ain't killed nobody yet. Done that. On down the line. He wanted a teacher, but he didn't really want a Lord. But what he didn't really understood, exactly he knew that. That's why God knows our heart. He knows everything. He knows in the quiet time. He knows when we're out exposed in the world and out with other people. But he says that's why you get in your prayer closet. You go in that closet, it's nobody but you and him. And they ain't nobody but you and him. And that sin that separates you from you and him. Okay, that we need to get on our knees and repent of. But once we got to understand that there's something more, and God wants us to find what it is and what about being more. That's why this time in your life, becoming a disciple is the biggest thing that you can learn and how to do. Okay. Not coming to church and knowing how to do all the right things and say all the right things and all those things. That's not what Jesus told his disciples to go and do. What did he tell them to go and do?
Preach the good news.
I thought he told them to go and build a 4,000 seat sanctuary.
No.
That wasn't it? No. What did he tell them?
Go
and baptize them. And make disciples.
Oh, my church.
Make disciples. To be a disciple of the Lord, disciples do not always lose all possessions, though, upon conversion, but they lose all ownership of them.
Ooh, say that again.
For they themselves belong to a new ruler.
Ooh.
Say it again. To be a disciple of the Lord, disciples do not always lose all their possessions. It's that old cliche of, well, you just got to give it all up. God, you're going to be poor all your life. That's not what it's about. Jesus didn't. He knew the intent of his heart.
Yes.
And his heart was he wanted the world. He wanted the possessions. He wanted to build more. His selfishness, I heard that word a minute ago. All these things because he just wanted it. It's like the rich getting richer thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You say that. And so so to be a disciple doesn't mean you have to lose all your possessions upon your conversion. Like, well, I gotta go and give everything up, like it says the rich young ruler. No. But I'll tell you this, if it possesses you, then God will want you to give that possession up. And we have to learn this in fasting. That's why Jesus said we've been fasting. Some things only happen, what? Through prayer, getting on your knees, crying out to God, and fasting. Fasting is something because we all got to eat. We can't survive without food and water. But we got to understand we can't survive without the Lord either. He replaces all that, but it goes on, but they lose all ownership of them, for they themselves belong to a new ruler. It's like you become, Paul talked about being a slave.
Mm-hmm.
But all slaves weren't beaten. All slaves weren't in a place in a prison. There were slaves who really lived pretty good within the inner courts of the kingdom, the king. When you become a king's servant, when you become a king's slave, guess what? You get all the benefits. How many want all the benefits? Amen? I don't know about you. I do. But so you see the mindset here. By going and abandoning all else, the man could have followed Jesus. That is become his disciple. The kingdom demands more than merely keeping my commandments.
That's right.
If we recognize Christ as our king, we must surrender to him everything we have and are.
There's one commandment. When Jesus said, have you done this, there were 10 commandments. The first four are about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's putting God, you will have no other God before me. And it talks about how you will put God in front of everything. But Jesus didn't mention any of this. He mentioned six that had to do with how you
your heart and love.
And he knew what was in this man, and he knew that he was a checklist kind of God guy, and he was willing to be nice to other people. But he knew also that he was not willing to put God first, because he wouldn't have been able to say, yes, I've done that. And he proved it, Jesus proved it to him when he says, and sell everything and follow me. It proved that he could not do the first four commandments.
Absolutely. Very good. So whether he then allows us to use some of what he has given us is his choice. It's not ours. You see what I'm saying? He takes ownership. He becomes king, and then he's the one that says, okay, you're naturally talented with this or that or whatever. So I'm going to let you use that natural gift that I've given you from birth into kingdom purpose.
Very good.
So see, this is what we got to understand as we go forward here in all these things is, you have natural abilities, born, hereditary, all these things. Some people have a musical family, okay? Some people have natural talents in this. But that's what he's saying here, that, you know, he's not trying to take away our stuff, but it's when our stuff has us, that's when he says give it up.
That's right.
And go and give it to all the poor.
Good.
They need it. All right. Let me skip on down here. All right. So, disciples do not always lose all possessions upon conversion, but they lose all ownership of them, for they themselves belong to a new ruler. When we tell prospective disciples today, just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you'll go to heaven, we're not telling the whole truth of the gospel. Jesus is available for asking, but accepting Jesus means accepting the reign of God and God's right to determine what we do with our lives. You see, today's society and church and everything else is like, well, we'll see how many we can say that's saved on the roster. Okay? And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. But then what happens? Then they go brag about it, and everything is just at naught. It's like, what? So it's not about that. It's not about that at all. When we invite our Lord to free us from sin, we're inviting Him to rule our lives. And while we may yet fall short in submission to His will, we must actively acknowledge His right to determine our lives, acting on the knowledge that He has begun to transform us by His Spirit. What does the transformer do?
Changes one thing into another.
You'll be surprised how many people that goes over their heads sometimes. I asked in the jail some of the guys. It's like AC to DC, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, that preached on its own right there. And a different kind of power. That's what transforming and the renewing of your mind, it talks about all is, okay? So, if we accept Jesus' terms of unconditional surrender to Him, however, He promises an unlimited supply of what truly matters. Look at 23-30. Jesus said to His disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And what does that mean?
Well, when we get out into Israel, and that the gate to Jerusalem is so low that the camel has to get down so low to get through it, and that's what they meant by the eye of the camel.
It's called the eye of the needle, absolutely. But even think of it in our terms here, think about a little hole in a needle. Anybody have problems besides me and even putting these on and trying to get that thread through there, much less a camel? So,
what was that?
There's a gate in Jerusalem there, and it's a little, it's about like this.
Are you talking about two-bear
camels,
or are you talking
about camels? No, camels. And they'd have to crawl through it and get way down, and they can't get through there because it's not built for a camel. So it's talking about money here, really. I mean, possessions, all these things.
I think it's
and
more than just money.
It's possessions of the world, just like Jesus had told him. Go and sell, give it all away. So today, we need to look at what is where our hearts are. What are we striving for? You know, from this moment on, I want you to concentrate on kingdom purpose. Eternal life means right now and forever. And forever. And forever. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished. Well, imagine that. And they, they're walking with Jesus. They're His disciples, and they're astonished. Then who can be saved? He said. And looking upon them, can you say what? Looking upon them, Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." In other words, If he tells you to give it away, guess what? With God, he can give it all back to you and even more.
Amen.
Once your heart becomes pure and you're on the right in right standing with God and you're walking with God, he's got something way better than you can even imagine. Like the old song, I Can Only Imagine, but that's talking about over there. But you can't even imagine right now what God has it for you in store in your life. Most Christians right now could not tell you what their calling is, what their purpose is in life. All I know is I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to do, when they call me, I'll do something like this and that. And the problem with the church is because we don't disciple and we don't teach you and we don't tell you about the gifts of the Spirit. We don't talk to you and preach and teach you enough to where you understand, wait a minute, it's not what I want, it's what he wants. It's his will to be done. And he has a plan and purpose, and it might be children's ministry. It might be missionary work. It might be a preacher. And we'll talk about that in a second, the fivefold ministry. But you see, there's something still missing, not only like this rich young ruler, but in all our lives at this time, until you get content in God and you understand, then you have the joy, the peace that passes all understanding, because guess what? You can't do it anyway. I'm there right now. Opening up this recovery house is way over my head. Opening up, starting this church was way over our head. And still, God has provided 3 years. He's brought men and women through here, some that have stayed in more discipleship and more discipleship, but then some have come and gone. Some heal through CR and they go back out, restore families, all these things. We're not about the numbers. We're about the kingdom, and that's what God wants each and every one of us to do. That's why it was so important that Jesus say, make disciples, because a disciple, he understands these principles, these things coming up that we're going to be talking about. Now, there's a guy named, anybody ever heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. He was martyred by the Nazis because of his faith. And anyway, wrote some books, Holy Spirit, all these things. Christianity. Yeah. Listen, he pointed out this. The difference between us and the rich man in the story is that Jesus stood before him and did not allow him to reinterpret the master's word in more convenient matters. Isn't it easy? Let me explain. Isn't it easy to change what God puts on our heart out there?
Oh, yeah.
Then right here, and if Jesus was standing in front of you saying,
what are we doing today, bud? What are we going to do today?
Remember that when we was talking about Zalton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pete Rose. Said, okay, it's fine, you know what? Because, you know, I've been to them places. I know what. Many years with the BC days. So, put my arm around and said, now remember, that's fine, but remember everywhere you go. It's like Jesus saying, where are we going? If you go in the bar, guess what? He's going with you. If you're going over to party, the football Falcons game, guess what? He's going with you. Holy Spirit, he goes with you. That's why Jesus says it's expedient that I go to the Father. I have to go to the cross, first of all, because you're lost in your sin and you need saved. All right, but then he says it's, I'll be on the third day, I got to rise. I got to be up with the Father because he's going to be at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I, every one of us, so that we can sin number three. And he ain't just number three down on the list, but the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of every believer, everyone who will receive him. So he's going with you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. He went on and says, he compares a boy towards his father. This is good to go to bed. The boy had studied theology. However, so he is However, so he is now intelligent enough to reason. Quote, Father, tell me to go to bed, but he really means that I'm tired and he does not want me to be tired. I can overcome my tiredness just as well if I go out and play. But a child offers such arguments to his father would likely meet with language or an experience he would have to interpret more literally, as would a citizen with her government or a disciple who reasons away God's demands. We can reason away God's demands in our little minds if we're not transformed by the Spirit. We can reason away, well, you know, I guess old Joe, he got that day. I ain't had to go over and clean church. But God's told me to do it, right? Anything like simplicity sometimes of reasoning in our minds. Well, somebody's going to take that ministry over. I don't know. But you know God's been laying that on your heart over and over again in things in your life. So there's a calling there. There's a pull and a tug that's there. And so the next couple weeks, I'm going to be teaching and ministering out of this. This was Mastering the Spiritual Gifts. I went to Bible college. This was one of my my books. And I think it's going to really help everybody and really get to the bottom. The first thing is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans 12:4 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, y'all know about these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, many forms one body, and each member belongs to all the other. In other words, what Paul's saying is there's one body, but there's many members, just like this body. There's an arm, a leg. And so, but everything functions and works together. That's how it is with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, real quickly, I'm going to do 5 minutes and we'll be out of here, okay? Because I know everybody's busy today, got a lot going on. The body of Christ is like a living organism that consists of many members, each having different functions. Look at your neighbors out, different functions. Y'all, you different. Contributions and expressions to edify the whole body. The Holy Spirit, now listen to this, the Holy Spirit imparts individual gifts and calling to lead each member into a specific area of ministry. These gifts are not natural talents or human abilities. Mm-hmm. Here's where you got it that gets confused in the church, in the body. They're not natural talents or human abilities, but are manifestations. Y'all know what that is? Mm-hmm. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit through human vessels. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, now get this, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts are two different things. You're writing something down. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts are two different things. Two different things. The first is the Holy Spirit himself, all right? The second gift is that what he imparts to the believer. Does that make sense? Totally different. It gets confused. People get it confused. The gift of the Holy Spirit, he's different, and the spiritual gifts are two different gifts, two differences. The first is the Holy Spirit himself. That's the gift. And the second is the gifts that he imparts. All right? John 14:16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Now I'm going to stop right there, and we'll go on further because I got a lot of scripture. And everybody's got new Bibles, so there's no excuse. Nobody not have a Bible next week. So bring a pad with you, pen, and get ready to take some notes. We're going to do a quick hit on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, what they are. Divine enablements in the life of the believer. They will enable us to serve better and more effectively. Okay? We'll talk about the categories of spiritual gifts and ministries. And there's three of those, okay? Revelation gifts, utterance gifts, and power gifts. Those three categories, all right, are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about those. And then in chapter 2, we're going to get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's asked a lot of times, and we want to get into that because there's so much misconstrued about the baptism of the Holy Spirit throughout not just non-denominational Pentecostal church, Baptist, whatever, but there's two separate baptisms, okay? I'll just put that out there to let you chew on it. All right? Baptism, water of repentance, like it says, and baptism that Christ received after he was baptized when the Holy Spirit, what? Come down like a dove. Empower Jesus. Woo! I feel it right there. Because you know what? He needed that. He had to go through a lot. All the way to the cross. And what the church is lacking is that very power from on high. It's what gets me through the day, the hard days, the bad days. Now listen, it ain't all about the tongues and all that. I'm talking about an immersion of the Spirit that Jesus taught his disciples to go after he was fixing to go to the Father. He said, go in the upper room and pray and see the Holy Spirit. Okay? Very good.
Thank you.
I got 2 minutes left. I could probably preach some more, but you know.
We're out of here.
All right.
Today,
yeah. I want to encourage everybody today, think about this stuff. And I got something else that God gave me just yesterday. I love it when God gives me something when I'm doing at the garage or cutting grass or something. I'm going to bring that point out about eternal life next week too. But I want you to think, okay, outside the box, okay? Think out. 2017 is outside the box for me. Y'all, anybody want to go there? Outside the box, it ain't been working. Well, guess what? Hang on. It's going to. Because when we get our hearts right, when we get focused, when we get to understand, oh, that's why we just start having the aha moments. Uh-huh. Hold on, Joe. It's coming. Hold on, Karen, right? It's coming. We just got to stay the course. That's why Paul said, hey, this thing's a battle.
Yeah,
it's a battle. It's a race. We're pushing forward like we're in this race, you know. But yet, it says, I pray that your faith, told Timothy, I pray that your faith don't fail you. He wants to steal your faith, and he wants to steal your faith. That's the whole thing. When he's got you. When you say, well, I'm done with that. I don't want to go to church. It ain't nothing working. It's like, ha-ha, got him. Got him. It's like Matt Ryan's on the 2-yard line to win the Super Bowl.
Bring division.
Hut. Bam. Knocked back. Third down. Do you go for it on fourth? Do you go for it?
Yep.
You dang right you go for it. It's a Super Bowl. You go all the way, baby.
Give them fullback.
Don't hold back. Ain't been there in
almost 20 years.
20 years. You going. And that coach better say go, or he's going to be strung up down in Atlanta. The streets are full of them waiting to party. So he, now if they don't make it, that's another story. I don't know about that. Seriously, oh, guys, come, okay? Unless you're got a hospital, got to go to the hospital or something. I want you here, and because this is going to be key in each and every one of you's life and your ministry. I promise you. Not because of what I have to offer, but because of what he has to offer and the resources we have and we want to impart in you guys so that you can find your calling. We believe there's going to be missionaries coming out of this place. We believe there's going to be preachers. Anybody know the fivefold ministries? Huh? 1 Corinthians over there.
Preach.
Apostle. What's the second? Prophets. Third. Teachers. Preachers. Evangelists. Somewhere in that five-fold deal there, you all fit in. Wait a minute, I ain't no prophet, I ain't no apostle. Preacher, teacher. That's not gifts. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a category of ministry.
Ministry, not the gift.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody gets twisted. That's why they say when you say the gift, there's two different ones, like I said there. Holy Spirit, he's the first gift.
That's right.
He's first. And now next week, guess what we're going to be on? Holy Spirit. And then what? The things he manifests through us.
Gifts of the Spirit.
Which is not to say, and I'll say this, people get, I'm 1 minute over, y'all. That's y'all's fault, though. But you, listen, people get to say, well, I'm not supposed, I don't have that and this and that. It never says nowhere in the Bible you can't have them all. Okay. So listen, I'm a little greedy, maybe. I want them all.
Okay, now it sounds
good. You want them all?
What's the apostle?
Paul was an apostle. The apostle
was the description of the apostle?
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Okay.
Look that up, Karen, and bring it in. Give you something to chew on and search this way. I love it when they ask the question, right? Give them something to do. You incorporate that.
It's right here in my Bible, too.
1 hour to get in there.